This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to the Twin Peaks After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're going to be covering the two-part finale, Season 3, Parts 17 and 18. We have a full panel plus one. We are speechless, but have a lot to say, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, you awesome Twin Peaks fans. Thank you so much again for tuning into our Twin Peaks After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. Lex is back. Lex, where can everyone find you?
I am here. I'm really excited that I get to be here because we're doing it on a different night. I am very excited to be here talking to you guys live and you guys who are watching and you guys that are listening later. I am all over social media at TheLexMichael.
And Michael Shirley.
You can find me at Michael X Shirley on Twitter and Instagram, and ilovemichaelshirley.com for my blog.
Lisa Mason Lee.
Oh, thanks for the intro. Thank you so much for tuning in this whole season, you guys. We're really happy to be here for this finale show. I'm Lisa Mason Lee, and you can find me everywhere at Lisa Mason Lee. And don't forget to check out my Instagram because I have behind the scenes pictures from on set of Twin Peaks.
And we have Lucretia Lyon, a.k.a., you know, the double R waitress here on the couch. Thanks for joining us, Lucretia.
Thank you guys for having me. I'll be serving up some pie and damn good coffee later. But since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And, of course, don't forget to follow us at AfterBuzz TV, at AfterBuzz TV and all social media platforms. Rate, review, subscribe. This is what keeps the lights on here, you guys talking to us. So please keep it coming. And we have live chat going. We are wanting to hear your thoughts. We also have a lot of them as well. I know it would be hard to describe in a few words what we thought of this, but let's just do it. I'm going to say... because I watched it three times, one for each time. Pissed, and then I thought, better. And then I thought, I might get it, no I don't. That was a lot of words, but this is my process the past week. What about you, Lex?
Oh man, so I am deeply in love with it, surprising nobody. My reaction the first time I watched both parts is part 17, in a way that I did not expect, affected me on a really deep, profound emotional level.
Did you cry?
Crap, yes, I did. And not like a couple of tears. I flat out messy cried. I was so dang fulfilled. No, it really did feel like, and I will say again, I fault nobody for not matching my enthusiasm. But it really felt like part 17 was the resolution to the Twin Peaks mythology that I've been waiting for since I became a fan of the show about a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And part 18 ends, and it ends the way it ends, and I started laughing because I went, oh, he did it. He did it to all of us.
It took some balls.
It really was one of the most audacious endings that I can think of in TV, and I don't want to talk about it in too hyperbolic terms, but it's been almost a week now, and I'm still really excited. So, and I want to
do the Laura Palmer scream right now.
But like, what about you guys? Like, how did you guys feel about it?
Season 4.
Lisa?
I had two experiences, obviously. One on set, the things I saw on set, and then actually watching the show. And then there's like an in-between of like, oh, so that's how they decided to do the CGI on that part and this and that. And, oh, and that's, there's two NATOs, two Lauras, the robe. Oh, yeah, that's why I wore that robe. Stuff like that that came
out
afterwards.
Can you tell us some more things throughout this now since the date has passed?
Sure, and Lex had some questions.
I was just really curious about what you were on set for. We saw you on camera earlier in the season, but I wanted to know what you were on set for that you weren't able to talk with us about before now. Like, what did you see, even without any context, that now you have context for?
I pretty much couldn't talk about anything, and like the whole Audrey thing I had to hold back on all the whole time, and you guys kept speculating. I'm like, Jesus Christ, how can I not let this cat out of the bag? But still,
we still don't know.
That's, I don't know anything. I don't know what's going on with her. Is she in a mental institute? We don't know. Is she, does she have dementia? I mean,
well, I don't think a lot of people knew what a really like,
well, wait, before we get in, though, to the rest of our thoughts, I want to hear Lucretia's thoughts of the overall episode. I think you liked it.
Yeah, I really liked the way that it ended because it gave me a lot of satisfaction and explained a lot of things. I do agree with some of, like, we didn't get enough of Audrey, you know, resolution, but I felt that the arm sort of explained it, and if you're a big fan of Little Shop of Horrors, the fact that you feel like the arm displays Audrey's resolution is like Audrey too.
I didn't put that together. That in the plant, the living plant echoes Audrey's words back to Cooper. That's
not so. I love that for me.
Yeah.
God. Okay. Let's start. We have a lot to talk about. So we have the first scene in part 17, which is Gordon talking to Tammy and Albert, and they talk about Judy. So, well, first of all, I just want to give a shout out to David Lynch and his dick joke.
The line right where he's looking at his gun, he couldn't shoot the Diane Tulpa. He says, "I couldn't do it, Albert." Albert says, "You're going soft in your old age." And he goes, not where it counts, buddy. Which, yes, is a great, I think, very self-aware, dirty old man joke. Mm-hmm. But I think on a meta level, much like much of what we see in these two episodes, functions very much on a meta level. It almost seems like Lynch setting us up for this pairing of episodes we're about to get. We get this big, happy, everyone's together in the sheriff station ending, and you might, as an audience member, go, oh, maybe he's getting soft. And then with part 18, he tells you not where it counts, he pulls the rug out, and everyone's mad.
Yep, he's... well, so, you know, he tells them about the whole thing with Zhao Day, and that something happened to Briggs and happened to Cooper and Jeffries, and he's trying to kill two birds with one stone, and that a paid informant named Raymond Rowe, of course, saying that the Cooper they met in prison is looking for coordinates from Major Briggs. And then they figure out that Dougie is Cooper, too. And I love this whole reaction scene. And then from everyone in the hospital calling Gordon. It was very, like, this to me was the finale I needed. This is the start of it. And I loved it. Putting everybody together. And I was like, okay, kids, let's go, let's go. I was like, all right, A-team, let's do this.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on in that scene as well. I mean, the reveal that all season Ray has apparently been working with the FBI.
Yep.
And I'm not entirely sure how that tracks with absolutely everything we've been seeing, but I also think some of these weird, slight seeming, if not inconsistencies, then these points in the story where you find difficult to draw a straight line from one to the other, I think now, especially in light of the finale, some of that is intentional. But also the two birds with one stone, which was one of the fireman's hints to Cooper at the very beginning. And it goes back to, and this must have happened in the time of season two, once Gordon comes back, this meeting that we never saw between Gordon and Cooper and Major Briggs, where they talk about Zhao Day. And of course, now we finally know that Judy is what, like the big boss, like almost like Bob and Mr. C are mini bosses.
Yeah.
And Zhao Day is the ancient force that is almost like sending everybody out to wreak havoc on our plane of existence. And I... Yeah.
Well, is Judy that big old Garmin Bozia mother alien.
That's what I think a lot of people are speculating, that it manifests. It's the experiment or mother was the banging on the door when right. Cooper's traveling through the lodges, or also this entity that seems to be possessing Sarah Palmer. A lot of people are speculating that they are all Judy. Also the floaty thing in part 8 that vomits up Bob and all the other eggs.
Right, yes. Right, yeah.
But also, all right, and I want to make sure that I get this in so I don't forget it. A lot of people were obviously discussing a whole bunch of different angles on this conversation all over the internet. And what a couple really clever people discovered is there's a certain dialect of Chinese, it might be Mandarin, but don't quote me on that, where the phrase Zhao De, or what is spelled phonetically like Zhao De, translates to explain. Or as an explanation, so I feel
how
like
ironic.
That's wonderful. That so wonderfully tracks with what Lynch's whole philosophy, not just of life, but as a storyteller, seems to be, where it's like the most ancient, powerful force of negativity is, for all intents and purposes, explanation. It is removing the mystery and the complications and the ambiguity from art, and thus killing it. Now, of course, you could completely ignore that layer of it and watch it without considering that for a second, but I think that's another really interesting meta touch.
Well, let's talk about the conclusion that we do get with Ben Horn and Jerry Horn.
He gets picked up and he's naked and he killed someone
with the binoculars. We're talking about Richard.
Yeah.
Just this didn't tie anything up for me, but it was funny and nonetheless. Sorry guys, I'm not crying. I am,
choking.
You'd hold up your Ricolas to let everybody know.
I have a bit of a situation. I was in New Orleans last weekend. What can I say?
But wait, so Sam, are you trying to tell me and our audience that the one story you weren't desperate for closure on is Jerry Horn High in the Woods?
Yeah, you love Jerry Horn High in the Woods.
I
personally just decided to let a lot of stories and loose ends go because I don't know if we're ever gonna, get them tied up. So yeah. I'm just kind of like, I feel like there's an overall message to this season and what Lynch is trying to say.
Like,
and
not everything makes sense.
Well,
at all.
I just think, he's super into transcendental meditation. He had to tie up some loose ends from 25 years ago and bring out some of the nostalgia. And I feel like it's a mix of many different thoughts and feelings he's had personally and about the creation of Twin Peaks. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay. So Mr. C goes to the coordinates. Goes to, what are we calling this place?
Fraggle Rock.
It does look like, right, because it's Jack
With
Rabbit's Palace adjacent, but it's not Jack Rabbit's
the
Palace
teapot
itself.
The bell thing? Which part?
Well, and
which
then place? The Major Briggs ghost head floating around.
Yeah,
you know.
Philip Jeffries' teapot house, or whatever.
I'm assuming it's all the same place. It's a
weird dark Starbucks.
I was thinking that was the White Lodge.
Dark Starbucks.
But I don't know.
It's the same place that our guys from the sheriff's department were wandering around, where Andy gets blinked up and meets the fireman.
Where the giant was with the lady.
Yeah, it's this weird, it's almost like a light mirror of Glastonbury Grove, because it's surrounded by the trees, but it's a weird gold pool as opposed to that pool of scorched oil.
Yeah.
So he finds, and I'm now trying to figure out how, after watching it a few times myself, how I'm supposed to read this scene. Because, he ends up in that movie palace where the fireman is doing his business, Major Briggs' head floating around, ends up in a cage, and then they spit him back out. But it almost looks like, so the fireman, it seems like, can see almost like what we're seeing as the audience for the show on that big screen. And he flips through a couple different environments. Like, we flip past the Palmer house, and he's like, no, that's not the one. And then he settles on the parking lot of the sheriff station, where they plop back out Mr. C. And Mr. C seems real surprised that that's where he ended up.
So I saw some interesting things on the internet, Reddit, all of that, which I really liked, which was, it was kind of a metaphor to us watching this. And there was a lot of metaphors throughout this. That maybe were bigger than we imagined. For instance, Audrey talking about Billy. Was she really talking about Billy Zane, the actor? In the day played her love interest? Like, or because they're talking about all these alternate realities, all of this. Like,
yeah, I hope
is that one of them? This show, this fake show.
And where is Billy Zane now? Now I have more questions.
Well, he was on a Freeform show last year, you know.
He's going to be P.T. Barnum on this upcoming season of Legends of Tomorrow.
Watch us. We don't know the time yet, but Lex and I will be doing that after show, guys.
And it'll just be John Justice Wheeler references all season, even for episodes Billy Zane does not appear in.
And the Phantom. We'll reference that one, too. Mm.
I mean, I really did think that this scene specifically, though, was kind of giving a shout-out to viewers. Like, we're watching this. It's too much for my brain to handle, quite honestly.
Well, I think you're onto something, which we'll be able to talk about maybe in a little more detail when we get to the last third or so of the finale. Yeah. But it speaks to something that I've been thinking about quite a bit, too.
So, finally, though, you know, Mr. C gets a little pooped out. I don't know what to call it. Words are lost to me at this point. To the Twin Peaks Sheriff Station, and he is all Mr. C-esque. I get it. It's been a while, but I would have been like, man, what's with the hair? What's with the rings? Like, whoa.
You don't look good, man.
What's going on? Everyone's super excited to see him. This was my favorite part of the entire finale, was when everyone got back together.
Yes.
And, you know, he goes in, and he goes with Truman, and they talk, and then Cooper actually calls, gets transferred to Truman, and that's when we realize, well, not us, we knew, but Truman realizes it's not really Cooper. Guns get taken out, like Wild Wild West.
And Lucy realizes that
Lucy
it's not
saves
Cooper.
The day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that goes back to the
cell phones.
Mm-hmm. She knows how cellular cell phones work
now.
And like, how incredible is it that Lucy gets one of the greatest hero moments in the history of the show?
That did make me really happy.
But how worried were you guys about Andy?
Oh, terrified.
Like, so we were like, you can't kill Andy.
I literally screamed in that scene. No, he can't do
he would have died.
We were too.
But it brought us back to the vision that the fireman showed Andy and him positioning Lucy down that hallway, and we had no idea what that was about, and then running back.
Right.
So either there was a gap in time where he put her there and then ran back downstairs, or he has that vision again right before
it
happens.
I think it was just a vision of what was going to happen.
And it could be a potentially shared vision that the two of them had.
Right.
Or it's possible Lucy was just like, I know what's up. I got to shoot this dude.
Right.
Okay, that vision confused me very much. Because we've seen Andy, when was it? A few episodes ago that he saved NATO? Or he went through something that was kind of out of body. Experience, it seemed.
He was like the chosen one.
Yeah, and he's been acting a bit differently, and that is also, you know, he immediately goes down to the jail cell and to free, you know, NATO and Freddy and Bobby, and Freddy also is the one to save the day here.
I told you this was going to end up like an episode of Heroes.
Yes, there was
nothing more like Avengers Assemble than like how? That.
Ugh. Sorry to interrupt. I just have to know how you guys felt about Bob, the ball being bounced around and
hated
punched.
All of that.
I loved that.
I loved that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. I'm like, this is so ridiculous, but this is so lame.
Bob was the beach ball.
Yeah.
Up until
I liked love. It.
Up until Mr. C got to the station, I was like, why did I ever fucking watch this show? And then after Lucy kills Bob, I'm like, I fucking love this show.
Right.
But then when all these special effects...
And then the woodsmen came in.
I hate the special effects.
But I thought they were good.
Oh,
I didn't think they were
for
bad
what,
special
1981?
Effects.
Oh my God.
No.
It's like, I realized that the show aired in 1989, and like they went with special effects that weren't like
right, like Dale's head being trapped in the jail kind of.
Yeah,
thing
I've had
fireman.
Problems with the
like,
special
some
effects
of the effects are
season.
Definitely intentionally
oh, I know
janky.
Right. Oh, I know it's intentionally janky. Absolutely, I didn't think that it was like, oh, we're not going to give David Lynch a couple
right.
of bucks. No, I just don't. I don't value those.
That's not
I
your style of
no.
CGI. You wouldn't
no.
pick that in, you know,
I'm
post.
All about, like, super professional, and that just looked like a joke.
Well, we thought, well, maybe he spent the rest of the money on his building his table with his built-in, you know, ashtray.
Well, that wasn't funded by Showtime.
Okay, well, fair enough. We all have our own opinions about the ball. regardless, it was destroyed.
Well, there's a lot, and there's a lot of, like, story stuff we're jumping over.
It went to hell, perhaps?
Yeah, assume it went to hell.
Well, let's back up a little bit and talk, of course, about, you know, how they all get brought upstairs, and the woodsmen go over Mr. C's body.
And I knew they were going to bring him back when they started doing that.
Yeah, they're just going at it. And what story are you referring to exactly?
Well, just little details. I mean, like, yes, a lot of this stuff. Also, we see Chad dealt with, knocked out by Freddy and then cuffed it. But I like that he had the compartment shoe, and we haven't seen one of those compartment shoes in this iteration of Twin Peaks.
Dude, really, we have not a lot of time. We can't go over the compartment shoes.
Really glad that we got the compartment shoes back.
I didn't know why he stayed in the jail so long if he had the key.
I think he needed some chaos to happen so that he had a window to get out, is my best guess.
Yeah, he needed a distraction. And the compartment shoes are really what you need to survive jail. Every time my cousin went to jail, he always pulled out his compartment shoe and started filling it with weed.
Well, I'll tell you, every time I've been to jail, they took my shoes from me, so there you go.
Right. But they wouldn't think of that for Chad. Because
for that reason, exactly.
They're just like, we got to put Chad in a little box for a little while.
We're all a little criminal here.
So you were talking about...
Yes,
they managed to shoot Mr. C. And then, yeah, the woodsmen show up, and presumably, if nobody did anything, then the same thing would have happened that happened in Part 8. The woodsmen would have somehow... Mm-hmm. We would have seen the whole blood massage pay off, and he would have probably popped back up and presumably killed everybody in the station. But because now, in this very, like, clockwork storytelling fashion, all of the players are in place... You had Lucy there to shoot him, you had Freddy there to punch the ball out, and you have, of course, the real deal Dale Cooper finally arriving at the perfect time to get the ring on him and send him back once and for all.
Yes.
I felt like I Am a Real American, the Hulk Hogan theme came on whenever Coop, at least in my mind, it was like, I am a real
American. I really desired interaction from the two of them. I wanted to see that.
Yeah,
you wanted to see them come face to face.
I did.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah, something.
You're never gonna get that.
No, it's fine.
Well, something also that I very ignorantly glossed over at the beginning was Dougie getting a happy ending. you know, at least we saw that.
Yeah, pluck that little piece of hair, put it in the. Yeah. Seed.
I do like it. That's the start of Part 18, but I like that when Mike squeezes it and he's like, electricity, it like bounces around and eats the hairs. It looks like it just like munch, munch, munch the DNA up.
Man, God, this show.
Super bizarre.
But yes, when Coop comes back, everyone, you know, is kind of okay that we care about. And he tells them that, and the Candy Girls, of course, the Mitchum Brothers. I don't know, this scene to me was, that was fan service. Before we started the show, I think someone said, I don't know, there wasn't a lot of fan service. I thought there was some with this scene specifically, for at least for me.
Yeah, I mean, I felt, part 18, I agree, there was no fan service to speak of. But part 17, I thought, was loaded with it. I think, and we're about to talk about the big shift in this episode, which happens at the end of this scene. But I think everything up until that shift is, for all intents and purposes, the end of the Twin Peaks story as we've been watching it for 25 plus years. And I think...
I don't agree.
And I think they didn't... Of course, they didn't tie up every single loop, but I think they tied up the big... cosmic loops that we were dealing with specifically in the original incarnation. And then, of course, once we make the jump, we come full circle on Fire Walk With Me as well. Now, of course, because it's David Lynch, in resolving five things, we raise 15 new questions that we will probably never get answers to. But yeah, I did feel that there was a lot of, I'll put it this way, I'm a fan. Your boy felt serviced.
Really? You're a fan.
Your boy felt serviced, dog.
I'm sure you did. You would have felt serviced any way it happened. But, you know, I do think that this scene specifically gave me some closure in a way. And I think that when Cooper says to all of them, I hope to see you all again someday, I thought that Lynch was saying that to us as an audience, because I'm an optimist.
All like this that. Stuff you keep saying, I don't think that 17 ended our story. I felt like 17 was fan servicey. I felt like we had to get that. Like, if we didn't get that, we'd be, like, rioting, like, at Showtime. But for me, everything about this episode was just so set up for a fourth season. And I went through my notes afterwards, and I looked at half of the characters. Half of the characters in our show, their storyline just completely dropped.
Yes.
His notes literally say, I fucking love this. Laura Dern, something, something, assholes. His notes are epic.
It's a character name, demon an actor love. Name, and profanity.
Yeah. Your notes are hilarious. Demon
love. I just don't understand how this could wrap up anything. This just wrapped up, like, the first episode for me.
Well, we're not even there yet.
For me, this show, it has to go on. Like, is there... What do you think?
It could or it could not. This is what David... If David Lynch, I feel like, had a last thing he wanted to give to his fans, it would be questions. And it would be having us up in the air like this. I just think it's his style.
Agreed completely. Honestly, like, look, if tomorrow David Lynch, Mark Frost, and Showtime announce another season, oh, yes, I'm absolutely there for it. I'm not holding my breath. I think this is his final word on Twin Peaks. And even though, yes, it is an almost maddening ending as far as its lack of full closure, as far as the number of questions left unresolved, to me, and again, this is just my personal experience with it, it felt like the only ending. Even once we tied up a lot of these questions in part 17 and then blew apart a lot of those answers in part 18, it still felt like this is almost the only way it could end. But I feel that way looking at it through the prism of not just it's the culmination of Twin Peaks, but also it feels to me very, very much, especially in the last episode and a half or so, as the culmination of David Lynch's entire career as a filmmaker. Like, going back, you see the DNA of Eraserhead, even Dune in this movie. I went back... Y'all, this past week, I went back and watched Dune.
What was the Dune vibe that you caught?
So, I totally forgot about the red signet ring that's in Dune that looks very much like the owl ring. But also the refrain of the sleeper must awaken is this thing that we keep hitting in Dune over and over and over. And then, of course, Blue Velvet and then Lost Highway, Mulholland Drive, even Inland Empire. The DNA of all of these works is in this 18-episode season. So that, too, helped the finale work for me a little bit better because I was able to see it in the context of a filmography stretching back to 77.
I never thought that this was going to end tied up in a nice, neat bow. But for me, that is... It's just...
It was a bit
of a... When you have such a large fan base and you know they're going to watch all of this, how can you, like leave Gerson Hayward in the woods, don't know what happened.
I know.
Who got shot? Where's Sarah Palmer? Like, was she really an alien? Like, half of our storylines are... I feel like he wrote this thing. I'm going to write this third season, and this is going to be the end. This is going to be the end. But he wrote it in a way where he knew they would have to ask for more. And I think he would be butthurt if he didn't get a fourth season.
Listen, you guys, I'm stressed out because you saw my book report of notes tonight.
Yes,
so I just want to get through this.
Let's fly. Part
18. No, are you kidding me? We are not nearly done.
Nobody
with
gets
17.
Nobody gets more than 10 seconds.
So
on the floor.
The Cooper Diane NATO reveal.
I called that, by the way. Only one.
This was something that was discussed prior to this reveal. Yeah.
Okay, explain that again to me, because
why is she Asian, for one?
Yeah.
It's not about
that. I just looked at the name. The name was so weird. I put it backwards.
Oh, you did. You were right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it gave us, like, Josie Packard vibes and Judy vibes, and it was just confusing.
It did give us me major Josie vibes. Like,
yeah.
So, like...
That's
almost
why
felt
it was
like
confusing.
Joan Chen should have played NATO, and it was kind of like a fuck you to her.
Okay, here's the thing, though. The way we ended Twin Peaks back in the day, right? We had Annie. That was who Cooper was in love with. That is who we knew. We don't talk about Annie.
I think
right?
It goes back to what you're saying with Billy Zane. Maybe Audrey was
But now the whole thing, it's like, oh, Diane and Coop, they were in love, all of this. I'm like, well, it would have really been nice if back in the day we would have known that instead of them giving us this Annie bullshit.
It seemed like unrequited love. Like, they had said they'd only gotten together, they'd kissed, like, one time.
But then when they saw each other again, it was like, oh, right? Mm-hmm. Am I the only, I don't know.
I think a big mistake is needing all of the bits of continuity to line up with the original series. And I really now, especially after this finale, I think it's intentional. I think we're dealing with, this is one interpretation. This is not me going, this is it, and if you disagree, you're dumb. I think we're dealing with fractured realities, fractured timelines, yeah. alternate dimensions. So I think it's entirely possible there's a version of this story where every bit of resolution we want, every bit of right. connectivity we want, exists, yeah. but and, we're watching, but, and this, so we're talking about the NATO thing. Yeah. You notice what happens when he looks at NATO right before she turns mm-hmm. back into Diane. That's when we get the superimposition of Cooper's face over the remainder yes. of the scene. And I think that is the moment where Cooper starts to realize that maybe this reality he's been living in is a dream of sorts.
And who is the one who said it was interdimensional alternate realities?
You.
Yeah, that's right.
Call it, Lucretia called it.
I actually only wanted to come on the show to be like, who was right?
Yeah.
And well, I always felt like there were different places people were going where they weren't seeing the same thing.
For sure. Yeah. And like different things, like within one scene, I forget which part it was the end credits of, but it's when the guy runs into the double R and he's like, has anyone seen Billy? If you mm-hmm. watch really closely, there are about three different sets of extras, depending on which angle we're looking at. Different little tiny things like that.
It seems Lisa, like, do you have anything to say about
I
any of this?
Wasn't working that scene, but yeah, I noticed that. Is that a continuity error? I don't know.
I think a lot of these things that seem to be continuity errors.
I don't think there are any errors. No.
Within a scene like that, or even now, people were talking about when Secret History came out. There's so much in here that doesn't seem to line up with what we remember from the show. Mm-hmm. I think it's all intentional because we're dealing with fractured timelines, alternate realities, alternate dimensions.
And speaking of Secret History, I mean, isn't there even a whole book devoted to Dale's love of Diane? I mean, basically, that, you know, it's not as authorized as Secret History, but
it comes up. It comes up in Scott Frost Dale Cooper book, I think. Mm-hmm. So NATO turns into Diane, and presumably this is the real Diane. Except, did you notice her like glam scheme? Did
her you notice fingernails?
Her hair color and her fingernails.
The red, black, and white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She had the curtain color on her head, and she had the floor color on her nails. And this, I think, is not. Maybe this is the real Diane, but again, I think we're operating on a couple different levels now. Mm-hmm. I think, too, regardless of what version of reality we're in, I think it's clear that anything connected to the lodges exists somewhat out of time and space. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why some of those elements will start to bleed through regardless. Is this the real deal Diane? I'm not entirely sure, because I'm not totally sure how real, super real anything we're seeing now at this point in the episode is. But I do think he's making a realization and he might, in fact, be waking up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. It's like, I have very vivid dreams, and after I watched this, I was like, God damn it, I am screwed. I mean, I am like, think I'm living in a dream constantly, and it's terrifying.
I didn't
a
trust.
A little Inception, you know? Yeah, you guys it's have seen Inception,
very Inception.
Right? The levels.
That's it
really,
a great
point. Actually, I had that thought, too. It really does. Yeah. We're dealing with dreams within dreams. I think we could talk about Audrey in terms of, I think you could make an argument for the possibility that at least half of what we saw at the Roadhouse all season was existing in Audrey's mind, wherever Audrey happens to be, whatever level of reality that she's in.
Ugh, I'm so pissed about Audrey. Let's move on to the next thing, which is when, you know, Cooper and Gordon and Diane, quote unquote, you know, they go to wherever they go.
Well, it's right. They end up, the lights all go out, too.
Yes.
And we notice the lights go out at the end of the finale as well. But I do think Coop and Gordon realize that something is happening, and they yell to each other, and it seems like the exact same delivery as in Fire Walk With Me when Cooper sees his double on the monitor and runs into the office just before Jeffrey shows up. they know what's up, and they end up walking through this hallway. And this, again, it comes back to this really worked for me within the narrative, but also on a meta level, because you've got essentially the holy Lynch trinity together. You've got Lynch and his two most prominent coveted collaborators, McLaughlin and Dern. And that, too, helped sell me on... it was really easy for me to accept Cooper and Diane as a thing. Whatever we do or do not know about the history of the characters, because I think it was Lynch really loving those two actors and really wanting to put those two actors together.
I see. I saw that the Notebook lady said that she didn't like the chemistry. I agree. I actually didn't like the chemistry of Diane and Dale. I don't know.
Well, so, but the other factor too, and I think this might inform the maybe the weirdest sex scene I've ever seen.
Right.
In the finale, she also, if every version of Diane maybe shares memories, or like the Tulpa had the memories of the actual Diane, she remembered the last night that she saw Mr. C.
Right.
He's a Cooper, even if she knows it's the real Cooper, has the face of the man who raped her.
Okay, well, we're jumping ahead a bit. Let's get back to Fire Walk With Me, which is where we end up in that next scene, which I loved.
Yeah, he finds Tea Kettle Jeffries, and Jeffries sends him back. But I think it is really important, too, that he shows him the owl symbol turning into the eight, or the infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends him to a point on this closed infinity loop. And I think that's a big potential clue as to what the ending actually represents. I think Cooper is essentially stuck, much like it seemed like Jeffries was in Firewalk with
Laura Palmer, essentially.
But essentially, yes, he's stuck in an infinite loop, mm-hmm. trying and failing over and over and over again to save Laura.
It's terrible.
It's pretty bleak.
It's a nightmare. It's my literal nightmares. You know, we see the stuff we saw in Fire Walk With Me, and I'm blanking. It's been a minute since I rewatched Fire Walk With Me. Did we see in it when Cooper is there creepily in the bushes? Or
yes.
Yeah, we did.
We obviously don't cut to him, but we saw, the scream, which we don't know what prompts the scream in the movie. Yes, that's all there.
Okay. And so he, we see actually what happened, which is Cooper saying, hey, come with me, I can help you, kind of thing. And, they're going through the woods, and she just, disappears and screams, which at the same time we see Sarah Palmer in the house, and she's taken Laura's picture and stabbing it. What did you guys take from all of this? Lex.
I'm going to let you guys know I have thoughts, but I want to let you guys get some thoughts in.
Everyone is just, if you're listening, everyone's like...
Lisa's face right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the turning point where we're like, Laura's going to be alive. Like, whoa, what's going to, where's this going? It just got amazing after that. I don't want to take up the time.
For me, I didn't trust anything after they put the owl ring on Mr. C.
I feel like Michael is a shell of a person right now.
Like I said, if this is just the third season and there's a fourth season, I'll eat this up.
Honey.
Love it. But if there's not a fourth season,
he's done with Lynch.
Done.
What did you think, Lucretia?
I loved the way that it was shot.
Me too.
And just everything about going back to the beginning, and I feel like, that was also reminiscent of the Infinite Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't feel like it could have been any other way without going all the way back and then explaining it. And then, Lex, we all know. You take it away.
Well, all right. So this so messed me up. He gets to save Laura, in a sense, which was his intent, even though he didn't come to town until after she had been murdered.
Right.
Dale's entire well, it is. He went back in time. Although you could argue it's a version of her, right? Just like everybody we're seeing now, and we see multiple versions of Laura, not just this season, but throughout the series. So let's say a Laura, but he goes back into Fire Walk With Me, into the past of, as I interpreted it, the Twin Peaks timeline as we've been keeping up with it, and succeeds in saving Laura. That is why we go back to this straight up made me cry, y'all. Like, when we went back to the opening of the original series, and Pete Martell just gets to go fishing because the body's not there anymore, and we had a doubling Jack Nance off the dock.
That was pretty cool.
So, we go to Sarah Palmer. And you can interpret this a couple of ways. You can interpret it as metaphor, and you can also interpret it as possession. Sarah Palmer, and all season, I think you can interpret her behavior one of two ways. This is either a woman living in a fairly grounded reality who has been through the unspeakable, whose husband raped and murdered their daughter, who then died himself. She'd been drugged to facilitate this. She's been horribly victimized by trauma happening around and to her, and has had to live with it for decades and decades and decades, becoming more and more insular. And this could be a manifestation of all of that violent trauma and grief. That would be pretty inconsistent with Lynch and the thematic material he plays with. However, on another level, we have reason to believe, I think, that she is host to a demonic force that is possibly Judy. And if Cooper succeeded in saving Laura, then it's entirely possible that then the scream when she vanishes, which is the same scream that we hear in part two when she's ripped from the lodge, I think it's possible that in retaliation, Judy, or whatever you want to call it, might be ripping Laura out of the timelines completely.
Okay, so here is my question. Is it two different timelines, one of which it's like Leland is Bob, you know, that's a screwed up situation, and then another one where Sarah is Judy, or were they both like terrible demonized parents like at the same time?
Yes.
Well, the
second one?
You said that, I thought about the house at the very end the lights flickered, and I thought, the house. Okay, is the house haunted?
Move!
It's like Amityville, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think Grace Zabriskie also plays another character that is possessed by a demonic force in another show that we watched, Outcast, which
yes,
is
that's
Robert
right.
Kirkman from Walking Dead. So I just assumed that she was just doing the same thing, you know?
And that's how...
Yeah, Outcast demon in her.
Especially this final part, and I think now rewatching the whole show, I think you'll be able to watch it through a couple different prisms. You can watch it through the prism of metaphor, but you can also watch it through, well, how does this track with what we know about the established Twin Peaks mythology, and what's the best reading of it within that? Yes, I would say this is the force, potentially Judy, that is possessing Sarah, enacting some type of retaliation and ripping Laura away from Cooper.
Right.
And who knows how many times this has actually happened. For all we know, Cooper's been living a version of this for 25 years.
You know what this reminds me of? And I haven't said it at all on this show, so I get this one. Supernatural. The one, and this is my favorite episode, it's the mystery spot. And the whole episode, Gabriel has tricked Sam into watching Dean die an infinite number of times because, you know, there's a whole subtext and everything. But yeah, like, it's pretty well that. Like, basically, Coop is Sam, and he's got to watch Laura die over and over and over again because that's just what's going to happen.
But why?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to get to part 18. Oh, my God.
Okay.
We have a lot of explanation, kind of, from the man with one arm. Lord help me.
Well, I think so at this point, at the end of part 17, the beginning of part 18, I think we see the way, again, this is one interpretation, we really do see the end of the Twin Peaks story we've been following, in as much as I think that timeline is pretty much closed now. I think in saving Laura, even if he only saved a Laura, I think we've altered that timeline in such a way where it potentially doesn't exist, or now it only exists as a hypothetical in a sea of infinite potential hypotheticals. I think the lights going out in the sheriff station was essentially the lights dimming on that reality before Cooper
got pretty dark.
I don't feel like you can really put too much into everything after Bob goes away.
Well, I think we're not for sure as far as its
all, like,
direct connection to. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I think Cooper knows what's up. Cooper knows because he gets to say goodbye to everybody. Cooper knows, I think, what he's about to do, and it goes back to the two birds, one stone, which I interpreted, and tell me if you guys disagree. I interpreted the two birds to mean I think he wants to save Laura and also defeat Judy, this ancient negative force, in one act, on one, and that is his
like the only
final
thing
mission.
He wants.
Yeah. So, but in doing so, he essentially screws up reality.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. We've learned this in TV shows, movies. Like, if you change things, you pretty much screw it all up.
Right.
Yeah. No matter how much you think you're going to help, you just don't. And the man with one arm essentially says, you know, is it the future or is it the past? And it's this whole thing, and there's more electricity. We get...
I just wish you would just make Ronnie Rocket so we can just get off this less electricity kick. I mean, what is, he's been wanting to make that movie for like 25 years or something.
It's like, is this the story of the little girl who lived down the lane? It's like, oh, this story. How many other stories are there? How many other realities?
How many dimensions are there?
And how many other girls or boys like Laura Palmer have there been? It's infinite.
And although I can't tell you exactly what the connection is, he's quoting Audrey's words verbatim. So there's definitely something there. Now, is it just that I think the lodge spirits, whether good or bad, do exist outside of time and space and therefore are probably privy to everything? Maybe, but we don't know. Yeah, we don't know where Audrey is. But like, Sam, I actually really like what you're saying, and I think that is part of... I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys I know what the purpose of all of this is, but I think this the way the story ends really does support the reading that it is, to an extent, about trauma and about how it would be nice if you could go back and you could save somebody from their trauma, but you can't. What's done is done. You can't redo or undo what's happened. You have to push forward through it. It's like a version of like, you can't go home again, in a way.
Yeah.
I hate to like cut in the middle of this, but the fans are like going off in the comments about Julie Cruz.
Oh, and about how I completely missed this, so I can't really speak to it.
And I'm the one that said, I was like, did you guys not see what she said on the internet?
Drake Avila said, by the way, Julie Cruz is pissed at Lynch, tweeted her disdain on Sunday night, and then Drake also said, Julie Cruz got lynched, LOL.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Cut her performance to 3 seconds.
She is so much entitled time, to her opinion. I will say, though, the interesting note about the song, The World Spins, the last time we heard that Julie Cruz song was back in season 2. It was the episode where we finally reveal Laura's killer, and he murders Maddie. And yeah. Dale hears that song while he sits in the roadhouse. So I think it's really fitting. Last time we heard that song was also in an episode where Dale failed to save somebody who looks like Laura. Mm-hmm.
Poor Dale. I mean, yeah. Jesus, he's trying, but it didn't really work out for him.
He needs a new hobby. He needs to just retire.
I know. Well, we need to talk about this Cooper and Diane, not Diane, Diane. Oh, God.
Right.
Okay, so we're in the room with all the trees. What exactly are we saying that happened?
The room with that was him, if I'm looking at the right spot in your notes.
Right here.
That looked like him coming out in Glastonbury Grove.
Okay, exactly. And then he sees Diane.
And now, Michael, to your point about not trusting anything, what...
So that wasn't really Diane.
Well, it might be, but what version of these characters are we looking at?
Like what he would, like if someone who... come out of the Black Lodge and they're envisioning this person that does crazy stuff with their nails or hair, this is probably what they would look like to them.
It's possible he's still in a dream reality. It's possible that this is an alternate universe, alternate timeline. I guess it's also possible that everything we saw was a dream and this is finally Cooper emerging after 25 years. And it's also possible that this version we're seeing is the same version we'll be following for the rest of the episode. This almost a fourth character that I think McLaughlin alluded to playing a long time ago, that he was asked about playing three characters, and I think he alluded to a sort of a fourth character that we might see him play. And I think it is this Richard that we see at the end, which seems to be an amalgam of all of the different personalities.
Why does his name need to be Richard?
Because it's one big dick joke.
Because it's all about dicks.
Richard, but we already so sad. Have a Richard. And he,
I know. Why Richard and Linda?
So, you know, the drive that Cooper and Diane had, you know, so they're driving and there's a certain point to 430 miles where they know something is going to happen. And that is when something changed.
Yes.
Right?
And now, how did you guys read this moment where they pull off to the highway and there's the poles with the wires, with the electricity, and it seems like we can pass. They say everything might be different when we cross over.
I was just waiting for this moment because when I was reading the LA Weekly interview with Laura Dern, she was talking about a car ride her and Kyle MacLachlan took in the show, and I was just waiting and waiting for that to happen. But then again, like I said, I was just watching at this point. But yeah. I was excited to see that.
And I mean, Kyle MacLachlan, I swear, I I'm going to be pissed when he doesn't get nominated for an Emmy, because I don't think they will.
Ooh, I think they're going to get snubbed.
They're going to get snubbed so hard, but yeah. I think it's ridiculous and absurd, and I'm already pissed about it. But I think that he should for sure be nominated for an Emmy. Just in alone, like, this scene when you could see the look on his face change. I'm like, that's not Coop. That's not Mr. C. This is not Dougie. This is somebody else. And he didn't even say anything. Mm-hmm. And I just knew it was somebody else.
But the new Dougie that went home to Janie E seemed like Dale to me, in a way.
It was the baby Dale.
You know?
Like, well, much in the way that I think Dougie before he woke up was. It's like the nice, the innocent, almost childlike elements of Cooper, like the pure goodness. And he was just able to send that home in a nice, wonderful, hopefully less shitty package than the original Dougie.
Yeah.
Then we get to the motel. And I was rewinding like crazy at this point, because Coop gets out of the car to go check into the motel. And then from the car, Diane sees another Diane and is totally cool with it. Doesn't seem, maybe not cool, but she's not like, oh no, stop. She's just letting her do her thing. And then a man emerges from the motel that Coop came in, and we're not really sure if that's the same person. Somehow, the two people end up in the motel room. I'm not sure who is who or what is what at this point.
Because this is, too, this scene where they go into the motel room. This is the first time. Cooper, definitely when he first comes out and sees Diane, seems maybe a little bit more tired, maybe even a little bit older. Almost like this Cooper suddenly has the weight of 25 years on him in the way that the one we've been following doesn't. This is the first scene, though, where, it starts to feel like something's very off. Like, this is not Cooper as we know him.
Yeah. And, you know, we know what happens after that. They have the sex. And as you said, it was a very weird...
Super
and it's
weird.
Like, yeah, it's like her trauma came back and she remembered.
And
the
I get
rape.
That.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, I get it too, especially given that he just stares at her stone-faced. I mean, he had a very Mr. C expression.
But also, I didn't think that that was the real Diane going in there in the first place. So why is she so traumatized?
Well, they would all still presumably share memories.
Yes, share memories. Right.
But also, too, the song that plays in their sex scene, My Prayer, the last time we heard that song was in Part 8 at the radio station before Mr. Got a Light showed up and crushed the dude's head.
Uh-huh. I mean... Well, I need a few months, but I will rewatch all of this and hopefully understand
it. I feel
it
like, too, like, yeah, I can't... There are some parts of this finale that I've definitely not wrapped my head around yet, but I think, yeah, after a couple of months and, like, the cultural conversation around it, I think, much like, I feel like we've mostly figured Mulholland Drive out, I feel like we'll get there.
Yeah. So, the next morning, he wakes up, Diana's gone, and he has a note from her that is calling him Richard and that she is Linda. And, you know, just says that I don't recognize you, please don't try to find me. At this point, I am, you know, what the fuck?
And two, different, when he walks outside, different motel exterior, different car.
Different, yeah, exactly, different everything. It's like, that's weird.
I don't know, that happens
just,
if you drink a lot.
time travel, history changes, and then you're not even who you're... The name you're born with. I don't know. You know, it's whatever.
It would have been better for me if the names that they were set, like Linda and Richard, would have had more significance. If it's like, oh.
Right.
If she was calling herself Audrey, I wouldn't have understood it, but I would have at least been like,
Right.
Right.
Like, who are they talking about?
What I think is interesting is, too, it's like, of course, now this is of course, the resolution to the clue, one of the firemen's clues from part one. I think it's interesting that the fireman apparently knew that reality was going to be breached in this way. Gave him the mile marker, gave him the names, tied it into his overarching bigger mission. So, again, I wonder what wild, like, seventh dimensional chess is the fireman playing?
I'm about to blow y'all's mind.
Okay. Okay. Do it.
We were talking about NATO earlier, and Diane, if you rearrange the letters of Linda, you're going to almost get Diane too, honey.
I know. Oh, wait.
Just without the L. NATO without the O.
Man.
I don't think you can overlook
How much longer can we play this game?
I felt like Candy, Mandy, and Sandy just kind of...
I'm so glad we made so many sandwiches.
Yeah, still trying to find out the significance of the candy girls, except for being fabulous.
Somebody pointed out the significance of Trinity, or the three, in this season. Obviously, the first atomic explosion was the Trinity test, but we've also seen sets of threes a number of times. The candy girls, three different Laura's. Coopers, different Laura's, the Detective Fusco's. We've been seeing threes all over this season. So I think there might be...
Three is a really spiritual number. I wouldn't think that someone who's into transcendental meditation wouldn't, like...
Where it's
think,
like...
Think, oh, well, I'm doing all... Look, there are three pins.
Rock jewelry.
But where it's like the one, the two, the three is like the light, the dark, and then somewhere in the center, middle, essentially.
So, of course, you know, then Cooper goes to Odessa, drives by Judy's diner, and has to go in... Very fun scene. Also, in a way, it was Coop, but not Coop. It was like this person in this scene was all of the Coops together.
Yeah, and it seemed to exist completely at the nexus point of all of the personalities.
See any Dougie in it?
There is occasional, every once in a while, he doesn't say something, but he gives an expression or he seems a little
like
caught off guard.
Yeah.
So this whole scene, man, I think one of the big indicators too, and it's like this third existing at the center of two others. Cooper, of course, as we know, coffee is his bae. Coffee is the number one in his world. Mr. C, to our great horror, actually refuses coffee in part 17. This Cooper is offered coffee and seems to neither really accept nor reject it. It's just there in front of him.
It's Schrodinger's coffee.
Is it even there? Actually, somebody's pointing out, like, that mug actually, I think she pours, but it looks weirdly empty, too.
Yeah. Well, we get the address of the waitress who, you know, he somehow knows is going to be Laura, a.k.a. Carrie Page.
Something else, too. It's like this version of Cooper who's behaving incredibly strangely. Right, the way, too, he was waving the gun, like just turning with the gun. The gun was on the elderly couple for a minute. The gun was on the waitress. Incredibly un-Cooper. Puts the guns in the deep fryer, potentially endangering everybody in the place. Very un-Cooper. Then, y'all notice? Homeboy's looking for coordinates.
Oh, yeah. God.
Right?
I didn't notice that part.
When he's asking for a location. He's essentially doing the same thing that Mr. C was doing all season long.
This is wild. That's a really good point. I mean, and I'm just still thinking, what reality are we in? It seems like we are in a reality where Laura Palmer perhaps does not exist.
I'm getting, like, Roseanne flashbacks.
Actually, yeah. Roseanne was the dreamer who dreams and then lives inside a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why we're having a whole new season where that last one didn't even happen.
And at the end...
Wiped it clean.
At the end, Roseanne's going to stumble around and be like, what year is it? And then Darlene is going to scream and the whole lights in the world are going to go out.
And then Dale Cooper just going to pop up and be like, where am I?
It's going to cut to the credits of the Roseanne reboot. It's going to be the same shot of Laura whispering into Cooper's ear while this really somber music plays over it.
Jackie would so be Bob.
I'm looking forward to DJ punching out the Jackie ball in the finale.
He would definitely be Rubber Fist.
Oh, that's Rubber Fist. That's amazing. So, you know, he goes to Carrie Page's house, who has a man dead on her couch with a bullet in between his eyes.
A lot of odd stuff happening.
Didn't seem really bothered by it.
Pretty chill.
But when she first opens the door after he says he's FBI, the first thing she says is, did you find him?
Yeah. Who? Like, who?
I don't know.
Right. I think it has something to do with the dead guy on her couch.
He's right there. He's dead.
Well, maybe she didn't want him dead.
And she could kind of recall the fact that she's Laura Palmer, but she also wasn't sure.
She reacted to the name Sarah.
Sarah.
Which might track if she is a version of Laura and Judy inhabiting Sarah, it was a factor in her being ripped from her timeline, potentially forgetting who she is, maybe creating this pocket fractured reality that they're stuck in.
I feel like it's so art house right now.
It's like trauma and PTSD and like blocking out the memories. And I thought about that too.
Absolutely.
But also, in different dimensions, I mean, I think even trauma, PTSD from a different life, a different dimension,
I thought it's gonna be
the same.
Like she, carries over genetically sometimes.
Yeah, like I thought she was picking up on something.
Well, I think that's part of what the final moment is about. I think all of that trauma goes back to what we were talking about before about how you can't undo trauma. No matter how much you want to, no matter how much you try to, you can't undo or redo what's already happened. You always carry that with you. You carry the scars of the trauma. And I think, it found its way back from one world to another.
Yeah, and I would love to know what Carrie Page's life was really like and what really happened.
Probably really boring.
It didn't seem boring to me. She had a
I think she's an outlaw, a bad girl that ran away from home.
Yeah, but she survived, and did not die like Laura Palmer did. So I don't know, but I loved also her kind of it was like Dougie like almost when he came in the house and she's like, "Do I need a coat? Is it cold up there?"
Right.
You know? It was just very innocent in a way, even though she had a man with a bullet in his head on her couch.
Yes.
And
she was willing to take a road trip and leave.
Yeah.
It seemed like something's going on in Carrie Page's world where it makes more sense to her to go on the lam with an FBI agent.
Yeah, well, there is a dead guy on her couch, and we don't really know if she killed him or why he's dead, but, I think she needed to get out of Dodge, as she put it.
I'd have gotten out with him, too.
Yeah, and the notebook lady has a really good comment here in the chat. Hey, we are the traumatized ones. I don't know about you guys, but I may need therapy after all this is over with.
I feel the same way.
Do we get group rates?
Jesus. So they're in this, another car ride. We get to know her a little bit more. And it's like, this is what Laura might have been like as an adult.
Yeah,
it's
she hadn't had this stuff happen to her, for sure. I got those vibes, too. Like, this could have been her. It's like in a different body with the same DNA.
Yeah.
Did you guys kind of like reflect on yourselves of like what would life be like if just one little thing changed and how would I have turned out? Like if you wouldn't have gone to jail that one time.
One time.
If I would have almost gone to jail that one time. Like
as a big comic book fan, it did occur to me at a certain point that we're now playing in Twin Peaks with multiverse theory, and that Dale Cooper in effect creates Dale Point at a certain point in the story.
I was going to call this Lynch Point, but it's
totally Dale Point.
Like Ash Point. I mean, everybody's doing it.
Dale goes back to save the life of a woman that is significant to him, and in doing so completely destroys reality.
Yes. Damn it, Dale!
Well, then we go back to Twin Peaks, and he takes her back to the Palmer residence.
Okay.
Which is no longer
that. I have real feelings about this scene, I will be honest.
Okay.
Let's hear them.
Well, all right. So, originally, Mrs. Tremond was Mrs. Tremond, but then when she lived in the trailer park, she went by Mrs. Chalfant.
Yes, same character portrayed by Frances Bay. In case, if you're listening and you can't place the character, it's the older woman who has the grandson who looks like a little David Lynch and is holding the cream corn in his hand.
And he is David Lynch's son, right?
Mm-hmm. So for that with me, I was like, all right, so why do you not know who this woman is? Why do you not know what... I mean, obviously we're in some mixed up kind of universe, but obviously she's lying as well. She's like, hold on. Like, keeps coming back to that.
Well, I'm thinking the husband doesn't pop up. The FBI is there, and he's not going to be like, honey, what's going on here?
Someone behind that door is someone we have seen before. In a different...
Is he debilitated? Name,
but...
I just thought people were acting weird, like Lynch has people act weird in general.
No, I thought they were acting weird. Like, like Lucy and Andy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I think that that woman was definitely acting weird, but I was like, bullshit! Bullshit. You know exactly who that fucking is. Like, I was made me so mad. Yeah, because Miss Tremond's former alias was Mrs. Chalfant. So she's saying the Chalfant sold the Tremonds their house. All right, so if you're the same family and that's your alias, you're just lying.
Mm-hmm.
She was lying. I was just like, who are you talking to behind the door? Why are you lying?
Well, we know, too, in the version of reality we're looking at, for most of the season, something is definitely going on in the house, right? Like, there's a noise coming from the kitchen.
The repeat with the boxing match.
Yeah, even in the original series, is the scariest ceiling fan in all of television, I tell you what.
It's a creepy house.
But, so, there's a bunch going on in this scene. And you talk about this odd performance by the woman playing Alice Tremond. So, the woman who plays Alice Tremond is a woman by the name of Mary Reber. She is the real-life owner of the Palmer House. which I think is very interesting, especially in a show where now, in this last hour and a half, we're really playing with which level of reality we're operating on. For all we know, especially in the same hour where they stop at a, is it Valero, at a Valero gas station?
Yeah, it's the first, oh yeah, it's it was definitely Valero.
First
yeah.
real world logo that I think yep. we've seen the entire season. So there is a possibility that the reality that they're in, at least for these, is either quote-unquote our world or a version of reality that is a lot closer to the world that we inhabit than the TV surreal dream reality of Twin Peaks that we're
so
used to.
So it would be like if Dale Cooper knocked on my door and was like, does Sarah Palmer live here?
And but if you didn't watch Twin
Shut
Peaks,
that door.
You would yeah. be like, I don't, who is Sarah Palmer? I don't know who that is.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight, God. I'm going to lock my door so hard.
But also, and this could be, I watched this a couple of times, and every time, you guys at the table, Lucretia on the couch, you guys in chat, tell me if you think I'm crazy. When Cooper holds up his badge at the door, it looks super plasticky and fake to me.
The comments.
Well,
are
I keep
so
on
crazy.
Thinking, how is this badge traveling through essentially like space and time with him? I mean, he has the badge, and he's Coop has Coop or not Coop. I mean, he was at the motel, different motel. He's here. I don't know where. How does
he's
this badge
cop or
keep on going with him?
He's Van Damme.
It's just like multiple personality disorder, and all these scenarios are playing out in his head. That's the end.
They're asking me to speak up in the chat. It's not because like I don't.
Are you not loud enough?
No, they're asking me to give my opinion in the chat that I'm not talking enough. Uh-huh. It's just because I really don't know what to say, you guys. Like, if we do get a fourth season, I'm gonna be so down with what we watch.
Yeah. Right.
But if we don't get a fourth season,
I want to work on it.
I'm going to be sad. But that's something I think everyone should hear. I want you to tell them all the characters you stood in.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes.
It is ridiculous. You guys are not going to believe this.
Well, first of all, let's go big.
Let's go
I stood
big.
In for Cheryl Lee, Laura Palmer, and I stood in for her for the Black Lodge scene, the 25 years later, where she whispers in Dale's ear. And I had to do all of the same movements and, like,
so
do it
cool.
backwards and forward. And everybody's looking at me. And it was a lot of pressure, guys, trying to match that.
You wore the Diane wig.
I was Diane. I did NATO.
You were a guy, weren't you?
I stood in for James for a minute and Freddie for a minute. I stood
Ashley
in for Ashley Judd. Thank you.
I'm
yeah, I did.
You
I did. I stood
You're
in
on
for
spot.
Ashley Judd. Mm-hmm. And I was at the house where we filmed the scene where she's yelling at her husband, who's, you know, has issues, and we still don't know what the hell that was about.
Yeah, they're asking about that in the chat, too.
Yeah, so who else am I thinking?
Audrey,
for a minute, for a hot minute. Yes. Yeah, because Ashley had to step out for a second. So Ashley Silowak was the other stand-in, her and I. She did a lot of the blonde stuff, but that day she did a lot of Audrey for some reason. I think she beat me to it. She's like, I'm taking Audrey. I was like, fine, bitch.
Did she have to do the dance?
I think so, yeah. I was like a craft service, I think, for a little bit of that time. But the crowd swaying and everything, that was a trip. And just the whole bang. I saw every performance at the Bang Bang.
Like, so for all of you
Eddie
out there.
Eddie Vedder, Julie yeah, Cruz, yeah, yeah. Rebecca Del Rio. I mean, nice. I had to shut. I saw Trent Reznor. He like spit on my face. I mean,
on accident.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted him to, though. But I mean, it was insane. David Lynch was on set for every shot, every scene, every day. He was there. He made sure to have control of everything.
And
so.
Someone who insists on being in the front row of every Nine Inch Nails concert I've ever been to, which is like 5, his spit is like, you know, like crap to you. You
yeah.
just want to be, and like, you feel his sweat, like I've gotten a sweat on me, and you know, you gotta have it.
It was like a 90s dream yeah. come true, because
wow.
then Eddie Vedder comes yeah. out and does oh. his thing, and I was like, is this, like, am I in a dream right now? That's the thing, like,
ooh.
On set, I felt like I was in a dream. The things that I saw, the performances I saw, and I knew it was, like, so big to be there, and it was just mm-hmm. a really great experience.
So for any of you who are wondering why Lisa had to be a little quieter on this panel all season, it was because
yeah, you were
she
under threat
knew
of death.
Every single thing
yeah.
and was under $1 million contract.
Yeah, I was like, Sabrina, can I post that picture of me and David? She's like, your NDA says September 3rd. So, damn it, it's like 2 years later. But you guys can go see my behind-the-scenes pictures on my Instagram.
Yeah,
I checked some of those out. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I see someone on the chat. Okay, so I'm just realizing this. They said Beverly Page was her last name.
Was Ashley Judd's character.
Was Ashley Judd's character. Could that have been somehow related to Carrie Page?
Very possibly. Other people were talking about how I don't think we ever resolved the one missing page from Laura's diary.
Yes.
Oh, stop.
No. No, seriously, I read a lot about that, too. And if that one missing page was Carrie Page...
Or
she
certainly...
She does resemble Cheryl Lee a tiny bit.
Who?
Oh, Beverly?
Ashley Judd, yeah. A little bit. Like, a tiny bit. Like, they could play sisters in a movie and you wouldn't blink, would you?
But...
Yeah, they have similarities.
But I'm talking about Carrie Page, a.k.a. The
Cheryl
Palmer.
Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying those two, they look like they could play sisters.
So Beverly Page was Ashley's character,
yes.
Right?
Page,
yeah, so, right. They're going to be releasing a new book, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. October 31st is Twin Peaks, the final dossier.
On Halloween. Well,
before the fourth season.
Yeah, okay. lastly, they leave the house, Cooper and Laura do, and he's like, what year is it? Then they both have this look on their face, and she gets the real look.
When she hears Sarah's voice yelling, Laura.
Laura! And then she does her scream, all the electricity goes out.
Not for nothing. Cheryl Lee... Best screamer in entertainment
I
history.
Love it. Mm-hmm. It gives me so much relief to hear that scream. I can't even tell you.
It's like blood curdling.
I watched it so many times this past week. My cat, every time she screams, my cat is like she put her paws
Buffy.
Over. Yeah, Buffy puts her paws over her face every time. She's like, not again. It's so loud. Before we end, I want to talk about, what we didn't get to see. Mm. What we were missing. The missing pieces that aren't the missing pieces, but they are for us. God, why... I wanted to see, more about what happened to Becky. Why was that a thing? Why did they give us that storyline?
I want to know who got shot in the forest with Garrison Hayward.
Yeah, why was that a thing?
I mean, she's one of the original characters, and she's still in the forest.
Why was Sky Fiera's armpit itchy? I don't know.
My armpit got itchy, and I'm afraid it was because, I saw that, and I was like, why is
it? It's aluminum. Here? She probably had too much aluminum deodorant on.
I don't know why. I'd read an interview with her in Vanity Fair, and she's like, David created this great new character for me. I'm like... We didn't get to see much of her.
Why was the Asian girl with glasses on dragged, onto the floor? Why'd she crawl through the people? There's just so many of these situations.
Lex, do you have anything that you really care that you didn't see or no? You're
so happy. I'm going to be honest. I don't feel like I needed anything I didn't get.
You're not upset about Audrey at all?
I'm really not. Now, would it have been great to get more specific about what's going on with her?
I think you look like not knowing.
I do. I do genuinely really like that this, most of Lynch's work, I think, yes, a lot of it's ambiguous. I think he's a lot more straightforward as a storyteller than most people realize, but I love that.
compared to Harmony Korine or something.
Well, I actually think most of it, once you know the way he's telling a story and you get what some of the pieces mean, I think it becomes pretty clear. Not every single time. I don't totally get Inland Empire myself, but... You get it a little bit more and you can track it, but I really love that there is so much in so much of his work that supports multiple interpretations. So I don't feel like I need every point resolved. The Audrey thing, yeah, I'm not sure. The Audrey thing, I'm curious about what level of reality that we're in. I'm curious about the hard cut, the last image that we leave her with, where it's like it's possible that she's in a sanitarium of some kind. It's possible that she's stuck on another plane of existence. I also wonder, did that sharp cut happen and transport her as a result of the timeline changing all of a sudden? I don't know. I think you could make a number of different arguments. But also, this goes back to a bigger conversation about, I think there's a subset of the fandom that more than anything else from this revival wanted Cooper and Audrey to ride off into the sunset together. I've never been a Coop Audrey shipper. I get it,
I would have been fine with it, but I didn't expect that. I mean, I liked their storyline, but I didn't need that.
Yeah.
I just needed her.
Yeah, and like, it would have definitely been nice to see more of her, but I think what we got, I think, tracks with the type of story we're being told, and I think there are a lot of elements of importance that I would have to go back and probably watch all of Audrey's stuff in the context of everything we know now to even begin to speculate about. But honestly, again, I fault nobody for not matching my enthusiasm. I am real, real pleased. See, essentially, Cooper in these final moments, like the what year is it? I guess you could say, well, maybe he went back in time. Maybe he's in the past. Maybe they're in a weird future.
And, okay, Robin's finding this in the chat. Why was Ben Horn never outside of his office? Why? I don't know.
That's true.
Did we ever see him outside of his office other than at One-Eyed Jack's?
Right, no.
Like,
he would wander around the hotel, but yeah.
For meetings and stuff.
Like, is he the devil?
But I think, too, in the final moments, we see that Cooper has essentially become Philip Jeffries. Like, he's stuck in a closed loop, lost in time and space.
He's not in a teapot.
Is he the new teapot?
He may become...
Oh my god, you guys, he's gonna be the coffee. They need a coffee pot.
Dale Cooper is the fish in the percolator.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
Yes, come full circle in this way. There was a fish because Cooper created Dale Point, and he is now in Pete's percolator.
It's things like that made me say when, you know, like, I think this means this. I'm like, there's so many things that I think he's just doing just to be funny and just for to get a kick out of it.
I feel like he built tons of side stories so anybody watching could relate to, like, at least one thing.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
Well, yeah. And I feel like, too, we talked briefly a few weeks ago about how there's a lot this season that feels like Lynch and Frost's commentary on the state of America as it currently exists, and the state of youth in particular, and this maybe, again, I'm totally speculating, but maybe a perceived spiritual decay that they're seeing in young people, and I think that might be some of what we saw. I think some of it to the girl, Charlene Yee, the girl with the glasses that falls around on the floor. People online were pointing out that her movements all pretty closely mirror the movements of Dougie as he moves towards the electrical outlet to shock himself.
Mm-hmm. I
think it's possible that the Roadhouse, as we've been seeing it this season, might be seeing different versions of the Roadhouse. I think when we see like James and Freddie and Shelley there, our characters that we know, we're dealing with the same version of reality that we spend most of our time in. I think that's not necessarily the case every time that we're there. Again, I feel like this is going to benefit from, if people are inclined, it'll benefit from rewatches, it'll benefit from conversation and time. But I don't know that I'll ever have the answer to every single one of these questions, and honestly, I'm good with it.
Yeah, because as you brought up the Roadhouse, almost all of the scenes in the Roadhouse felt like different points in time or space to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I was kind of glad to be a little bit vindicated, because it kind of proved a little bit of that. But yeah, like, you would have these, and I felt like Lynch was just showing us different parts of his timeline or dimension or his multiverse, as us nerds will say. He was showing us different points of the multiverse to show us it was a multiverse without telling us that till the end. Because as you say, there's Charlene Lee and Jessica Zor was actually in more than one.
Yeah.
All these people that, you know, most of us would recognize from House or Gossip Girl, we're seeing it and we're like, oh yeah, there is a multiverse. These are different people. Yeah. But
also,
yeah.
Dr. Jacoby.
Yeah.
Would like to just bring up the gold shovel. What? I
love him.
You know, what?
I like maybe he and Nadine get together. Which is, so in a season where we got, very little in terms of hard closure for some of our personal relationships, at least he let us have Big Ed and Norma.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm glad that I was so afraid when they got together that they were going to somehow take that away from us. Although, maybe they did, because if half of what I've been elaborating on in this conversation is accurate, for all we know, that version of Twin Peaks no longer even exists. Like, that reality, when the lights go out in the sheriff's station, that version of reality, that dream might be over, which is part of why there are a few reasons why I'm fine with not getting any more. That's one of them. But I feel like
Twin Peaks fan fiction.
Anybody? I feel like we ended that dream.
I'm not. I can't. There's too many unanswered questions. On that note, you guys, we got some amazing jewelry from Rock Love Jewelry. We are doing a giveaway for you awesome fans, and we have picked three to send you some awesome stuff. So, will you tell us who won, Lisa?
Yeah, thanks to everybody who retweeted. We have been blessed with this amazing jewelry from Allison at Rock Love Jewelry. She hooked us up with some personal stuff, and then we have enough for you guys. So, but only three of you get to win. So
three. See what I'm talking about? Three is important.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've got some amazing fans who won. So the first winner, no particular order, is at @twin_Pete's.
Yay! Yay!
Our second winner is Josh_9917.
Woo!
And our final winner is DJ Inaboo. So,
yeah!
DJ Inaboo! So, yeah, Lisa, we'll be reaching out to you via Twitter, social media to get your address. We will be sending you these goodies. And I am not lying when I say I do not take this stuff off. I'm afraid it's going to break because I wear it so much.
Yeah, I've still got my firewalk.
But it's like very steady. I don't take stuff off when I shower that much. And it's
you
amazing.
Like to shower in your
this is
clothes.
Good quality jewelry. Yeah. This ain't no Forever 21.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Guys, on that note, I don't really know what else there is to say. We could stay here for years, decades.
See you next season.
25
different dimensions.
Years.
Season 4.
In different dimensions, guys. Let's say where you can find us one last time. Lucretia, thank you for being here. And you're such a fan.
And thanks for filling in for me when I had to go.
And we love your outfit and your enthusiasm. Where can everyone find you on social media?
All right, guys. Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at @LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And Lisa?
You guys can find me everywhere at Lisa Mason Lee, and my website is lisaleetv.com.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michael X Shirley. And find me on my blog at ilovemichaelshirley.com. And I just put out a Twin Peaks inspired mixtape, which I think you guys will really like.
Nice.
It's called Twin Creeps. So check it out. And check me out on the other AfterBuzz TV shows, Project Runway, which is on Thursdays, which I lead host. And an upcoming show I'm super excited about, Marvel TV News.
Woo!
Yeah.
Me, Lex. I am all over social media at TheLexMichael. Guys, I've had a blast talking about this show all season long. I am so very happy with what we got. It felt like such a massive gift to me. I'm going to be ruminating and theorizing and going down all these rabbit holes for a real long time. So hit me up on Twitter. I'd love to talk about it with you guys, get some more of your thoughts. Also, check out a podcast that I do with Tari J. Miller, who you may know if you watch shows here at AfterBuzz. It's called Missing Out. He and I show each other things, movies, music. Sometimes we do anime, things that we haven't seen. We turn each other on to different pieces of pop culture that we love. We did an episode on Blue Velvet a couple of weeks ago, so you can go check that out. Follow us on Twitter at @MissingOutCast. Go to iTunes, check out our show. We're available plenty of other places. Podcasts are around if you don't have iTunes. All right. I love you guys. I will see you in the space. Mwah.
You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I do a bunch of shows here. My brain is fried from all of this Twin Peaks talk, so I can't even remember what I do or where I am or what year it is, so follow me to figure it out. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
What year is this?
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.